Welcome to the Riverdale Assembly of God Broadcast Network. You may know me from Preach the Word podcast. I am your host, Ernie Epley. This is a new endeavor we're branching out for this month. It's called Sermon Express, where we take a sermon basically and condense it down to, a couple minutes here and there. I don't want to put a number on it. This month's Sermon Express will be hosted by my good friend, Troy Matheny. He is the older brother of Trenton Matheny. Without further ado, I'm going to get out of the way and let him do his thing, and I hope you enjoy these messages.
Now then, do it. A forceful argument made by Abner to God's people. Let's read it. 2 Samuel 3, 17 and 18 says, "And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, 'Ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then, do it. For the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies.'" Abner is standing before God's people at a very critical time in Israel's history. They were facing something they had never, ever faced before as a nation. King Saul was anointed as the first king over Israel. He was the one that God set up. God chose, "This is who I choose to be my anointed king, to take the children of Israel to fight against their enemies." And it didn't get very far into King Saul's kingship that he disobeyed God. He decided he had a better way to do it. For whatever reasons, however he justified it in his mind, he decided, "This is the way I'm going to do what God has asked me to do." At the end of that battle, when they got through that battle, Samuel came to Saul and said, "Why have you disobeyed God?" And King Saul tried to explain to him, "I haven't disobeyed God. What are you talking about? I haven't disobeyed God." And Samuel said, "No, you have disobeyed God." He began to explain to him how he knew that he had disobeyed God. And still, Saul said, "I haven't disobeyed God. I did what God asked me to do." He wasn't willing to repent and just say, "You know what? I did what was wrong. Forgive me. I was wrong." No, he continually tried to make it to where what he did was okay. And so Samuel said to Saul that day, "Today, God has rent the kingdom out of your hands and given it to your neighbor who is better than you. You're no longer going to be the one that's going to lead God's people to conquer all of their enemies." Saul went on being king after that. They fought battles after that. They still beat their enemies. They were still a powerful, powerful nation. But Saul was rejected by God. So 7 years after King Saul's death, we find Abner. He's taken Isbosheth, Saul's son, set him up and said, "Isbosheth is going to be the king over Israel." Now, David didn't go in and take him by force. David didn't just go in and push his way into being king. He sought God and said, "What do you want me to do?" God allowed him to go be king over Judah, and Isbosheth and Abner ruled over Israel. But there was Abner every single day still trying to hold up the family of Saul to do what God had rejected him from doing and said he could no longer do. So here Abner is. He's standing before God's people. He's finally come to grips with the fact that was rejected by God is not going to work for him. It's not going to help him. So he goes to the people of Israel because he has pull with them and reminds them. He says, "You sought for David to be king over you in times past." And then he makes that statement, "Now then, do it." These people knew who King David was. They knew what kind of anointing rested upon him. They noticed whenever Saul was anointed and when Saul lost that anointing, they noticed it in David. I believe they noticed that from the story that we read about where Israel went to battle after Saul lost his anointing. They went to battle. They came home. They had won the battle. The people are out on the streets and they're chanting and they're dancing and they're saying this. They're saying, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands." And I believe that day they recognized something in David that they didn't see any longer in Saul. How much time do we spend as Christians, as God's people? How much time do we spend continually trying to prop up as authority in our lives the nature that God has rejected and said, "This nature is not acceptable"? How many times do we, as teachers, as preachers, as educators, people trying to witness and do God's work, do we settle to do things so that it's easier on us? Maybe it takes less discipline. For whatever reason, we decide we are not going to do it this way. because that weighs harder. But we're going to go ahead and prop this up in our life. And we don't function under the anointing of God. God has anointed us. We know, just like the people knew what it was like to have a king over them that the anointing rested upon, we know exactly what it is like to function under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, to stand before our classes and teach, to stand before congregations and preach, to witness on the street, to educate the kids that we're in class with every single day, and to do those things and to follow those orders, having taken them from the one with anointing, and that anointing to be resting upon us. We settle for less in our life. We settle for a life that is propping up the old nature, propping up the old flesh, and we settle for a life that is not anointed in the things that we do for God. I want to make a forceful argument with you today, just like Abner stood before God's people and said, "Do you not remember this?" I'm asking you today, do you not remember what it was like to live a life free from the bondage of sin because you had the anointed one, God's only son, as king in your life? I want to ask you today. I want to tell you today, like Abner then, now then do it.